This is the Classic Cult TV Club, and we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before, and we're here today with Cassandra.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Hola.
Mackenzie.
Hi.
Lisa.
Hey.
Jeanette.
Hi.
And I'm Justin. And today we're talking about what we've been watching recently. And we'll kick off with Cassandra.
First, we strategically want to make a very
quick... You want to make the announcement? Yeah.
Yeah. Just a quick nod to Andre Brower. Was that right?
Yeah,
Brower. He was Captain Holt in the Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which as far as myself and Angus, and I hope all the other culties agree, is like a modern-day cult TV show. He passed away.
11th of December, he passed away.
Yeah, just wanted to take a moment to make a nod towards him because his character was pretty dang cool. Mm. And, it's a bit of a sad one.
Yeah.
Losing a culty.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm trying to think of what other shows that he was in because he was already kind of known when he was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm. It was a homicide, Life on the Streets. Am I the only one who remembers that?
I don't think it aired in Australia when I was young, so I didn't know it existed.
It did.
It did exist.
It was on TV when I was, when I was maybe in my early teens. Because I used to like watching Law and Order. It was pretty much like the Baltimore Law and Order. And then one of the guys that was from, that's a Detective Munch that was in SVU, was originally from Homicide: Life on the Streets. But that's what I remember him from.
But it's weird because he also cameoed in one episode of Arrested Development.
Which, who was he?
He was Munch in an episode.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Andre Brower, and I'm like, I don't remember him being on that. But he was a really good dramatic actor. So I don't think I'd ever seen him in anything comedic until Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And he just nails it, doesn't he? Incredible.
He was really good.
Apparently he was in House, but I guess I just hadn't seen the seasons that he was in, or I didn't pay attention.
Was he in it, was he just on one episode?
Probably. Maybe. He was in Law and Order SVU, must have been an episode. Duets, Poseidon, Last Resort. He did a lot of cop shows from what I've been able to see. He was in Fantastic Four.
Which one?
In the 2005 and 2007.
Really? Oh, that would be the
original ones.
Yeah. He seems to have had a main role in a show called Thief, or movie called Thief.
You're just looking for the thing.
Scrolling through Wikipedia to see if there's anything we know.
Oh, I'm not even doing that. I'm looking at pictures. Of movies, because I don't read. I get overwhelmed by it all.
But yeah, I think he was just that typical, what he plays Something in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he used to always do that in a drama capacity.
Yeah.
But he's very much the dry man and is hilarious. Anyway, now you can talk about
Okay, so Cassandra, what have you been watching recently on TV?
Well, as you know from previous years, I have been putting off watching shows because I've been a lazy slash busy person. But now I've finally gone to gear. I've been catching up on a lot of stuff. I've been catching up on the Star Trek and that shows. There's a couple of oldie ones that I watched this year that were from like a couple of years ago.
Are we talking oldie Star Trek or just oldie shows?
Oldie shows in general. Right, okay. I mean, old as in 2019.
I was alive in that year.
There are kids born in 2019 that are going to be going to school this next year. That's ancient.
It's more just like the shows.
Are you taking a dig here?
No, it's more like the shows that I could have watched at the time but didn't. So I'm catching up on there.
Right.
One of which I've been hesitant to watch was The Orville, if you guys know
that. Yes.
So is it any good? Or?
It's main issue was the fact that it's got Seth MacFarlane in it. And he made it. It's not that bad. I mean, it's... Yeah, because there are points, especially in the first season, when you can tell there's a joke coming, and so you just tense up because the joke's going to be terrible.
Yeah, there's a bit of a dun-dun-dun. You're waiting for it.
It's also just like, it's a joke. Okay, just let it go. It'll finish. But by the third season, it becomes basically straight and serious, and it becomes a lot more better.
I think once they stop playing for laughs, it actually gets better, doesn't it? Yeah. And actually gets funnier once they stop trying to be funny.
And I think the way I sort of was, because the other thing as well is because I watched it this year after having watched Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks, the series that came after it from Star Trek. It's seeing it differently compared to what you were seeing it at the time, because at the time it would have been, here's a show that's doing comedy in Star Trek better than Star Trek could at the time. It's interesting. It's comparing it to, say, Strange New Worlds, it's going on is good, but the better thing about it is it doesn't have half a century's worth of baggage to deal with. Mm. So, for example, say there's like a few major races, and how they act and react to each other changes across the season because they can do that, and so there's sex and prizes where
they don't need to maintain the status quo.
Yeah, especially sure. Probably the series, the alien race that's got the most development are the I've forgotten the name of them.
Endoran budget Vulcans or
no,
budget?
No, no, not budget anything. The Mucklins. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The race that got the most development in the series were the Mucklins that have one gender, allegedly, because we find out by the third season what happens to Mucklins that are born female. And there's a basically like, kind of homonormativity, I'll say, of the entire race basically becomes the plot points for the entire run of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out, for example, there's a planet hidden from the world where female Mucklins get rescued and taken to. And there's one episode where one Mucklin comes out as being straight and he's ostracized and gets put in prison, and it's just
okay.
They try,
yeah.
It's no, like, you got. You, they try. Don't
I hate
they?
How like sci-fi shows. They just really need to take it one way or another. It's not like a happy medium. It's like no.
That comes. Let's go extreme. Yeah. That comes across as being a little bit like anti, like woke ideology.
No, actually it's the opposite. It's done the opposite. To the point where it becomes a bit preaching.
It just feels like it's still
no
it's, anti it's, things. Mm. While
no, it's done so, really well.
No, yeah, they do it well, but yeah, it is a little bit. Yes, you've preached it hard enough. We get it. So yeah.
Yeah. I didn't feel it was that preachy, but then again, I'm not that harmed by it.
But then the Mucklin female that kind of rules them is like one of the most kick-ass characters that they just keep bringing it back, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah, at some point it's like, yeah, I'm not sure that actually works trying to force him into this role, but okay.
Oh, so everything we're saying, we're completely disagreeing every time. I'm loving it.
It's more. It's. Never mind.
What else?
I have a couple of series from a couple of years ago was It's a Sin. By Russell T Davies.
Ah, yes.
Is it good?
It will stab you in the heart repeatedly.
Oh!
It's the most tragic thing I've ever seen. Actually, no, because I also just watched Chernobyl, and that's almost as tragic. Yeah. Pain in your chest. It's also kind of weirdly coincidental, because they're both 80s, and they're both about disasters. Mm. And I think one of the biggest moods, especially by the late episodes, is how much denial and fear there was about AIDS at the time that comes through, to the point where it basically becomes, not needlessly, but like how tragic the entire thing was, to the point where it basically it kicks you in the gut, like all the way through the last episode.
Yeah.
It's a really good show, but it's just emotionally draining.
You recommend then?
I recommend. It's just like, because you know, oh, this is a show about AIDS. It basically raises for the whole thing. Because I remember in the second episode, one of the characters going on a long spiel, basically saying AIDS isn't real, and going through all the rumours, some of which we know for certain are true, but because he's like, look at all these things, they can't all be true, therefore it's harmless. Mm. It's just a pervasive...
It's
a subconscious amount of this is going to be tragic, and it's
yeah.
I recommend, but you need to basically be emotionally stable before you get into it. Otherwise, you'll cry the whole time.
Oh, okay, yeah. But I'm super keen. That's been on my list for a while, actually. Yeah.
It sounds like the show's kind of the moment before a car crash. Like the entire time, you're tense, waiting for everything.
When it happens, it's also like, I don't want to spoil it, but there's points where basically it's just. Yeah, you'll cry a lot.
But even like, so the song that the title of the show comes from, I've got that on my like songs. It came on the other day, and I'm trying to explain to Mackenzie what the song's about. And it's such, it brings me to tears, just that song, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, I like that era that song was written, and everything that was going on, and all of that type of stuff. Like, I'm just like, wow, it'd be incredible, but really intense.
Yeah, that's basically the show. Incredible, really intense. Mm. And the other one was, again, another British show from late 90s. Technically 90s, from late 2010s, was Derry Girls.
Oh yes, that's had been really well reviewed.
Recommend that as well?
Recommend that as well, especially for you, because I've worked it out. I think you're roughly the same age as the girls in question.
Oh, God. I don't know whether I'd be able to handle it. I'd be too creepy.
Yeah, it'd be like 90s nostalgia for you.
I'd be like, this is too much like my life. I don't think I could handle this.
No, it's not that, because it's a lot of North Irish cultural touchstones as well. So that's, that thing as well. The way it also treats the Troubles is a combination of, like, some episodes where it's basically blasé, and other times it's basically dead serious. But there's one episode where there's like one particular day where all the Protestants decide to march everywhere, and because the family that shows around is Catholic, they decide the best way to resolve it is to just drive across the border that have to deal with it for a week.
Oh, wow.
It's played for laughs, though. Because,
but it's actually got something. It's tinged with a bit of...
Especially if you talk to Jerry, listening to some of her stories growing up in Belfast. Troubles.
Just like 90% of the time it's played for laughs. Especially because there's one episode where they have the girls' school, Catholic girls' school, and the Protestant boys' school. And they meet up to try and basically be like, so let's resolve our differences. And they're ragging each other. And it's also fun because, like, main character Aaron is trying to hook up with one of the Protestant boys based on the assumption that because they don't have Catholic guilt, they'd be more up for it.
Oh, yeah.
And of course,
backpacking in Ireland in the 80s as one of three single females, and all the guys going, Australian females!
But of course, the punchline is he's wearing a purity ring. The guy she's trying to hook up with is a purity ring. But yeah, we're going to series.
I went to a Christian school, and I don't know what that is.
You promise to be faithful until your wedding day.
Oh, right.
Not faithful, but like non...
Chaste.
Yeah.
Rather than court. Okay. Yeah, I've watched a couple of them stuff.
You see, I think Derry Girls is on my list of shows I do want to watch, but I think it's sitting next to Inbetweeners, and I haven't got to either one.
Like,
I think that's why I've not watched it.
They're both classics, and they're kind of, admittedly, I want to watch them when I'm conscious enough to retain information, even though that's probably not the purpose of either show fully. I want to just be able to enjoy it, and so 90% of the time I've been watching things. I'm either watching them with Baylor, or I'm watching them just to kind of disintegrate my brain a little bit.
Yeah, I think you also need a bit of context. I mean, not that the show doesn't give it, but more context around the troubles and what's going on there to get what's going on.
I do know a bit about the conflict between Northern Ireland, Ireland, the Protestant Catholics, and just Ireland and England itself. So
yeah, because like one of the characters,
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, because like one of the characters, basically, the four girls and a boy, and the boy is a cousin of one of the girls because his mum wanted to get an abortion, and because that wasn't legal in Ireland at the time, she went over to England and decided to keep it. So the kid was raised English.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so basically he's a punching bag for, like, the first season because he's in... jokingly, he's so English.
One of the actresses from Derry Girls is in Bridgerton as well.
Oh.
And she's really good actress. Like, they just basically, everything she touches, she's incredible in. So I can't think of what her name is. Cole. Sid, well done. Yeah. Jeanette got it.
Have you seen either show?
No.
Those English actors.
Yeah.
I just read them. Reviews.
I remember seeing her on the poster of Derry Girls, and I remember her character in Bridgerton. But
Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye!
Thanks. Yeah, so that's what I've been watching this year. There's going to be more, hopefully. Yeah, watch this space. I said I've got a backlog of shows I need to watch. I'm going through them all gradually. It's just hopefully in 12 months' time I'll have more done to talk about.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And that was the Cult TV Club.